Titus chapter 2, let's look at verses 4 and 5. Let's see, we'll back up to verse number 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors, becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible, Lord. Thank you that we can know, dear God, that these are your holy words. Thank you, dear God, that they still work, that they're unchangeable. Thank you, Lord, for old-time religion. Lord, thank you that a new generation still needs old-time religion. And I pray, dear God, as we go into and launch into the next year, Lord, we kind of celebrate that with our new theme, dear God, that you would bless all that's planned. Lord, thank you for the married couples. Thank you for the good example they are to our young people, dear God. And I pray, Lord, that you'd use these things that we teach today to just strengthen marriages, make us better for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, very good. I'm going to give the wife 7 pieces of advice that I think will help you. I so appreciate my wife. I really mean that. And everything that I'm going to mention, I want you to understand that everybody's growing and everybody has areas in their life that they need to improve. And I don't think any of us has arrived. I want to be a better husband in 2024 than I was in 2023. I'm going to work at being a better husband in 2024 than I was in 2023. And, you know, folks, we'll put effort into almost every other area of our life to improve. And then, boy, if we don't do this, the most important of all human relationships, the only human relationship where God takes 2 people and turn them into one, we ought to just kind of dedicate ourselves together to be better in these areas. So wives, let me give you some good advice when it comes to your side of things and things that will be a blessing and help to your husband. All right, you ready to go? All right, number 1, become the queen of organization. Become the queen of organization. If I could give young wives probably a piece of advice, it would probably start in this area right here. You know, God made Adam and put him in the Garden of Eden. And then he watched him for a while and he said this. This is what God said. It is not good that man should be alone. And and then he made a woman to help keep us organized, amen, and to help us in that area. Probably one of the greatest blessings that my wife is to me is this in this area of organization. I didn't hire her to be the church secretary just because she was my wife. I didn't hire her to become the school secretary just because she was my wife. Matter of fact, if she couldn't have handled what she does at home and those 2 things, I would have hired somebody else. But when it comes to organization, she's the queen. She's the queen. And I want to give you a little piece of advice here. It's important that you train up all of your children to be organized. And, you know, kids, it's going to take a while for kids to pick it up, get it. But I think especially you need to teach your daughters to be organized, because that's going to be one of the most important things when it comes to them being a helpmeet for their husband one of these days that you could possibly teach them. And I really mean that. Become the queen of organization. The Bible says you're to be keepers. It doesn't say of the home. It says keepers at home. And I think one of the reasons that this area is such a challenge to a young generation of mothers and wives is because they don't spend much time at home. And listen, you and your husband got to sit down. You got to figure it out. But let me just say this. Don't fall into the trap. Don't fall into the mindset that, you know what, I've got to have 2 incomes coming in my house. We can't make it without 2 incomes. What do you mean you can't make it? And what do you mean by that you can't make it? You can't make it at this standard of living?
I'm going to tell you, let me just testify. And you say, preacher, you're just an old man with old-fashioned views. Amen. America used to be a really strong nation when we had old-fashioned views. But one of the greatest gifts that my mother gave to us as her children and to my dad was the fact that, you know what, she stayed at home. She was a homemaker. I like that phrase, a homemaker. She's what made our home. And one of the things that she did was keep everybody organized. Now, I know if you're going to keep everybody else organized, you've got to get organized. And so this is a great time of year to kind of challenge you in this area because of the fact that we're facing a new year. This next week, I do it every single week, every single the week after Christmas, between Christmas and between New Year's, me and my wife will come into the office area here and we declutter the office area. We get everything ready for a brand new year. She's already at the house, started going through every closet and decluttering our house. All right, you pack rats, you hoarders, listen to me. You're going to end up on a television show if you're not careful. All right, I'm going to turn the TV on and there's one of my members. You know, America's, what do they call that show? Something, not American Hoarders. I think it's American Pickers. Isn't it? Is that how you become a hoarder? You start, I don't want to go there then. But, you know, you have to make some sense of things. If you're spending all your time looking for something, you're not getting stuff done. There's a place for everything, everything in its place. I can't tell you how many times my mom preached that to me. I can't tell you. I want to thank Beverly Whittington. I mean this. I want to thank my mother-in-law for training Cheryl to be organized, training Cheryl to do things right. I mean, I asked my wife about her relationship with her mom, and you know, everything my wife does, she does very specifically. Everything has a place. Every piece of clothes is folded a certain way, and folded. Yeah, you're supposed to fold them. Yes, folded a certain way. And I asked her about it one time. I was kind of picking at her and laughing a little bit about it. And I asked her about it, and she said, "When I'd sit down at 6, 7, 8 years of age, and you know, mom would come in and drop a laundry basket full of clothes that need to be folded in front of me or me and my sister. We would fold them and we would put them in the laundry basket, and my mom would literally flip through them, and if they weren't done right, she would flip the thing upside down, go like this, set it down, smile at us, and walk away, and we got a chance to do it again." And you say, oh my goodness, no. Listen, why are we letting kids grow up to be slobs? Why are we raising a bunch of kids that have no home skills whatsoever? A bunch of young ladies that can't cook a meal, don't know how to wash a dish and get it actually clean. Come on, I'm getting on my soapbox here for a minute. What are we doing? Then they wonder later on when they're married why these things become points of contention in the marriage. And so become the queen of organization. Now you say, preacher, that's kind of a weak area for me. All right, we'll work on it. You're going to work on it. Amen. Don't just go, I can't. I wasn't trained that way. Well, then, you poor pathetic thing. There's no way you could possibly learn. You know, why are we hiding behind excuses? You know, go on Oprah and complain about your mom and dad and talk about how you just, you know, can't do anything because you blame your grandparents, you know, blame who, or you could take control of your life and say, you know what, I could learn this. And so become the queen of organization. Number two, these are for the wives. Create a positive spiritual atmosphere for your home. And I really believe that that starts with the wife. She is the keeper at home. Create a positive spiritual atmosphere for your home. Two words there. Let's separate them for a minute. Positive. Well, I want you to listen to yourselves. Husbands, tune in. Listen to your wife. Listen to yourself. This is good for both husbands and wives. Listen to your children. Come on. Is it negative, 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 complain, complain, whine, complain, negative? Is that, has that become the atmosphere of your home? Or is it thankfulness, gratitude, praise, positive comments? Watch this. Please, thank you, manners, treat each other right. Because if you just allow negativity, watch this. This could be even worse. What a terrible thing to think. Or even are creating negativity in your house. You know, well, you know, my children, they're so negative. Well, listen, where are they getting that? Listen to yourself first. Because if we create that positive atmosphere, it's going to trickle down into the hearts of our young people. If we're always complaining, always seeing, every Sunday you come home and you complain. Every day at work, how was your day at work? Oh, it's terrible. Yeah. You know, I know a couple men, and I've asked them for almost 3 years, how'd your week go? In 3 years, they have never had a good week. Yes. Never. I mean, this is like a record. You know, how could you go 3 years? 3 years, 52 times three. Figure that up for me. Don't use your calculator. Figured it. I'm coming back to you in just a minute, all right? 52 weeks times three is 156. 150, man, I know he nailed it. 156. With his generation without a calculator, that's amazing. So, I mean, 156 weeks. I guess after a while, maybe you're just proud of it and you don't want to break the streak, you know. I mean, I'm going for 200, you know. I shake my head and think to myself, never? How'd your week go? Oh, man. Everything was bad. Not one good thing happened. You know, first of all, you can create a lot of good yourself. Are you waiting around for someone else to bring good into your life, or are you bringing good into circumstances? You know, come on, I'm talking about a positive attitude, folks. Let's be positive, okay? Let's look for the good. Let's look for reasons to rejoice. Let's look for reasons to praise. Come on, goes back to what we taught the first week. Let's compliment each other. Let's look for the good in each other, okay? Let's bring our kids up, not put our kids down. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and create a positive. But listen, there's a lot of worldly people that can do that or trying to do that. The next word's important also, a positive and spiritual atmosphere. Now, ladies, this starts with your personal walk with God. You're not going to be equipped. You're not going to be able to create a spiritual atmosphere in your home if you don't have a personal walk with the Lord. Again, this is a good time to talk about it. Thanks for passing out all our Christmas tracts. There might be like four left laying on the back table there. Somebody wants to grab and pass them out this afternoon or tomorrow. So we filled up the track rack where we had all of those Christmas tracts. And one of the ones we put in is a yearly Bible reading chart. And if you'll take one of those, start on January 1st. You can read through the Bible in a year. It tells you exactly how to do it. You can tape it in the front of your Bible. That way you have it in your devotional Bible. Check off each day. Something about starting the day walking with the Lord, a personal walk with the Lord. If you are real and your relationship with God is real, then you know what? That's going to create in your life, in your heart, and in your mind a spirituality. Okay? That's kind of the goal, okay? I heard one time, a teenager who didn't like another teenager. The one teenager was, I'm sorry, very carnal. The other teenager was spiritual or trying to be spiritual. And they're like, well, they're just always trying to be spiritual. As if it was an accusation. And I kind of smiled and looked at them and thought, isn't that kind of the goal? Why should that be like an accusation or something that said, well, he's just trying to always be spiritual. Well, what are you trying to be? You know, carnal? You know, what's the goal here? Well, you know, I don't know. But I do know this. Spirituality starts with walk with the Lord. Of developing that spiritual life. Of it being real with you. And so have a strong walk with the Lord. 39 years I've lived with my wife. By the way, I don't have a perfect wife, but I'm going to tell you, her walk with the Lord is precious, and it's real in her life. And it's not just she keeps up on her Bible reading and her prayer list. Okay, that's great. But that you can do that and not be spiritual. Spirituality comes from a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, where Jesus Christ is real in your life. And he communication with him and talking with him and walking with him and being mindful of him and his presence in your life, it's a real thing. And so starts with your personal walk with God. I would add this. We're talking about creating a positive spiritual atmosphere. Music plays a big part in the atmosphere of your home. And so I would start the day with the right kind of music playing. You set the kids down, and they're getting ready for school, and they're eating their Captain Crunch and getting ready to go. And there's Christian music playing in the home. I will tell you, it's amazing what that does to set the tone and the atmosphere of their heart before they leave the house. The way you decorate your house, the decor of your house, can create a positive spiritual atmosphere. I always tell the story about my mom and her life's verse, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." And when a pastor's wife chooses a life verse and the people of the church find out about it, it seems like everybody's buying her something that has the life verse on it. And, you know, I kind of kid about that, laugh about that, but I literally grew up surrounded by this verse, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." And, you know, as much as that may not seem like a big deal, I think it set the course of my mind and my heart. You know, I didn't go to Bible college thinking, "Oh my goodness, I'm going to fail. I just can't do this." I don't enter into anything that I believe is the will of God with a defeatist attitude. Well, you say, some people might say, "Well, you're cocky." No, I'm Christ confident. I'm Christ confident. Amen. Not confident in my own abilities, my own self, but confident in him. And by the way, I can do. I'm going to preach a message maybe in January. And the Lord's given me on two words. I might call it the invisible you. Now, Terry Angel preaches a message. You ever heard him preach the message, "The Invisible You"? He's got like a famous message he preached on the invisible you, and he's going to think that I stole this message. But English teachers will understand when I say what this. I'm going to preach on two words: be strong. Be strong. It's amazing how many times you find that in the Bible. Now, be strong has an invisible, understood subject. Man, all of my former students, I'm looking at them, and I can tell they know this stuff, you know. Because when I had the school, we taught grammar. We actually taught grammar, you know. I don't know what's happened since I've left, but there's an understood subject. What is it? You. What that is, it's invisible, but it's literally saying, you be strong. And then it goes on to say, in almost every place you'll find it, in the Lord. We're not leaving God out. But too many times, we're leaving you out. Guess what? You need to be strong. You're commanded to be strong. And I don't know how I got off on that, but I just feel like, you know, this whole idea of just, you know, I can't, and throw my hands up. And we got a generation of quitters and I canters and poor me-ers. And I don't know, what happened to men? What happened to men just stepping up? Well, it's hard. Well, then do something hard. Amen. Well, it's not in my comfort zone. Then get out of your comfort zone. Okay, well, I'm tired. Then work on while you're tired. Amen. Well, I hurt. Well, then hurt and just get the job done. Amen. Come on. And where's all that come from? Oh, the old American way. No, it came from the King James Holy Bible. Amen. When we used to believe this book. And, you know, we've got an entire generation of victims with a victim mentality, and it's destroying manhood in America. See, I might preach that message. I don't know. I might. Guess I kind of just did, right? Amen. Okay, we're on number two. We're going to make it. Create a positive spiritual atmosphere for your home. Starts with your personal walk with God. Music plays a big part in the atmosphere of your home. Decorations and decor. Monitor the conversations. Sometime go get my book, The Teenage Years of Jesus Christ. Look at the 10 laws of excellent speech. I had one of our monitors take a picture. I guess Miss Biber just went through it in her classroom, the 10 laws of excellent speech. One of our monitors took a picture of it and said, you probably need to teach this to everybody in our church again. And she wasn't doing it as an accusatory thing. She actually mentioned, I need to hear these things. You know, folks, if we're not careful, we just let conversations go on and negativity go on. Come on, moms, you need to monitor that. I don't know. I can remember as a young person starting to whine and my mom calling me out on it, starting to criticize somebody or gossip about somebody, my dad calling me out on it. Do you know why that didn't happen in the Ross home? It wasn't because there was a bunch of perfect kids being raised there. It's because they had a mom and dad that just wasn't going to allow certain things coming out of our mouths and would correct us on it. Okay, foster in yourself and in your children a spirit of gratitude and contentment. And so create a positive attitude. Number four, your husband values respect as much as love. Well, I'm going to say maybe one of the most important things I can tell wives. Ephesians 5:33, you can write down the reference. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, instructing the husband, love your wife even as himself, and the wife see that she, does it say love her husband? Reverence her husband. Now, ladies, whether you understand this or not, when I just did two premarital counseling sessions with Samuel and Abby, and I just got done with Jesse Castle and Paul, who's getting married. I'm going to be doing that wedding. And Brother Castle's just going to play dad that day. I think that's pretty neat, to be honest with you. And so, but one of the things I looked at both of the girls and said, young ladies, and said was, I looked at the husband. The most important thing your wife needs is love. And then I looked at the wives and I said, love is not the most important thing that your husband needs. Okay? Wives, you better listen to me. Love is not the most important. Now, he needs your love, but he needs your respect more than he needs your love. When a man is disrespected by his wife, and the wife allows the children to be disrespectful to the husband, you are killing something in that man that you don't even understand. So wives, treat your husbands respectfully. Don't let your children, don't let them get by with talking about dad with disrespect of any level, any level. And that's probably, I stop when I go through premarital counseling. I said, whether you understand, and I don't think sometimes ladies do understand because of the importance and need of love and security is probably their two most important things that a woman needs, love and security. But for a man, it's respect and love in that order. And so, ladies, be really careful. Don't talk down your husband. Don't talk down your husband to other people. Okay? All right? You're going to go through some rough things in your marriage. Every time you're mad at him, you don't need to call your mom and complain about him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right? You don't need to call a bunch of other girls and complain about your husband. Put him down all the time. Let me ask you this. When he's doing the right thing, do you call him and tell him about that? Or have you just gotten into this thing of negativity again or disrespectfulness towards your husband? He needs to be your hero. He needs to feel that way. He needs positive reinforcement. When he has moments of doubt, when he has those times where he's discouraged, man alive, that's when he needs you. Okay, he don't need you to doubt with him and be discouraged with him. He needs you to say, you can do this. You can do this. You got this. Are you kidding me? Come on. You can do it. You got this. Okay, he needs positive reinforcements. I think this. Make coming home. This is all under respect, values respect as much as love. Make coming home the best part of his day. Make coming home the best part of his day. And you think about that. You know, every day I go out, every day when you go out into the ministry, every day, you know, whatever you got to face, it's not just ministry, it's you guys too, whatever you do in life. You know, no matter what I have to face, No matter what challenge I have to face, no matter what problems I have to face, no matter what burdens I have to carry, at the end of the day, what just keeps me going is I get to get in my car and I get to drive home. And that ought not to be the part of the day that he dreads the most. That ought to be the part of the day that he's excited about the most, okay? All right, makes sense? Next, ask your husband for advice. Ask your husband for advice. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34, and I know, let me just say this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the context of the entire chapter is trying to fix the unbiblical, unscriptural practice of the unknown tongue. Okay, and trying to get it out of the church. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law, and if they will learn anything. Listen, this is the part I want to get to. And by the way, that doesn't mean you girls, as soon as you pull in the parking lot, you can't say a word until you leave the parking lot again, and then you can speak again. It's talking about eliminating the tongues. And I'll just quickly say this. If you wanted to eliminate the speaking of so-called tongues, it's really the unknown tongue in Pentecostal churches, if they just followed this one rule and all the ladies stopped, it would disappear. It would disappear. Okay, so that's why the rule's in there. I'll give you the context of it, okay? But it goes on to say this, and if they, talking about the wives, will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. Now, there's a Bible principle here when it comes to the relationship with your husband. Go to your husband for advice, for spiritual advice, for practical advice. I would bounce things off your husband before you make important decisions. I would ask him for advice if you're not sure about something. Let me give you kind of for instance, okay? And I want you to know, I'm not crazy about this, and you're not going to get bawled out or in trouble. But sometimes I'll be out in the foyer, and, if a lady comes up to me and she asks me a question about the Bible, and I'm standing there in the foyer, I'll answer it. Now watch this. Listen to what I'm going to say next. If she makes a habit of coming to me wanting answers, I will at some point say, listen, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go ask your husband that question. And you say, well, why would you do that? Well, it's a Bible principle. Some of you are thinking, well, he don't know. Well, it's still right for you to go ask him. And if he doesn't know, you know what he'll probably do? Probably call me and say, Pastor, my wife finally asked me a question and I don't know the answer to it. And I'll say, well, tell her this. You say, well, if he's going to get the answer from you anyway, by the way, he probably does know. He probably does know. And some wives don't want to ask their husbands anyway because they don't want their, come on, it's more of a pride thing, come on, and a rebellion thing. I don't want his advice. I don't want his opinion. I want to do what I want to do. Shame on you. Come on, shame on you. And so, but it's a very healthy thing as a pastor for me to point the wives of the church to the proper authority in their lives. I'm going to say a couple things, and you know what? We don't live stream this, but we record it. It'll be on the website. I'll never back up from this. I train our church planters the same way. You as a pastor, lead your church by leading your men. You lead the church by leading your men, and then you allow each man to go home and be the leader of his family. Okay, so this is, I'm going to say it so that we can be fully criticized. This is a man-led church. Amen. You know why? Because it's a biblical church. Amen. 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 Now, you think, well, I've been raised here, of course. Well, you've been raised here. You have no idea what the average church is like out there. The average church in America is not a man-led church. The average church in America is not a pastor-led church. The average church in America is a woman-led church. I'll say it again. The average church in America is a woman-led church. That's why they're a mess. That's not a slam towards women. That's the fact that we're ignoring the Word of God. And when you start doing things your way instead of God's way, then you're going to have issues in the church. You create issues in the church. Now, I said that just to kind of get you gals to understand. Well, you keep having men's meetings. Why don't you have men's and ladies' meetings? That's been asked to our church planters. Another lady came up to one of our church planters. I don't understand. I've noticed something. You never ask women to pray in church. Why don't you ask the women to pray in church? Now, again, if you're raised here, that's funny. But these people that are coming into these churches haven't been raised in that type of church. And it doesn't even mean that they're being rebellious. Some of them are honestly just saying, why are you doing this? And you know what? Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God that we've trained our men to be kind and to open the Bible and say, you know, we want to make sure we're honoring the Word of God in all areas. And so this is why we do what we do. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. Ladies, and this is probably worth taking a little time on. If we run out of time, let me just say something. There's certain things that you have to understand, and I got to get with Tabitha. She's going to help me. We got to get this book done this year, okay? All right, girl. She's already working on it. I'm going to help guide her through it. But it needs to be written by a woman. But we're going to together co-write a book. Only I'm keeping my name off this one, all right? My name doesn't go on this one, all right? I can't tell you how persecuted I am as I go across the country. And I and my wife's name is on the 21 Tenets of Femininity. So my preacher friends persecute me. I got to get that off the cover. I don't know why every time she reorders it. I think it's Rebecca Lowen's fault. She designed the cover. I'm going to put it on her. Yeah, I got to find someone. Come on. It's a woman conspiracy against me. So I'm already harassed about being the man who has unique insights into femininity. And so, yeah, fun. Anyway, where was I going? Oh, The Even Side of You. We're going to write a book entitled The Even Side of You or The Even Side of Me. Not me, her. This is already going to be a struggle, man. And one of the things, listen, if I could bring Eve in here and she could, all right, come on, let's have a ladies' session. We're going to bring people back from heaven. Eve came in here. What does the Bible tell us about Eve? Listen, and by the way, she's one of my Bible heroes. There's so many good things about Eve. She was called the mother of all living, and she didn't have a mother. Think about that. She was the mother of all living, and she never had a mother. Which tells me that no matter what you were denied in life, you can be a success. Okay? Think about that. You know, don't walk around with, oh, I wasn't raised this way. I didn't have this. I didn't have this advantage. I look at some of our young ladies that were, from our bus ministry, and maybe you didn't have a Christian home. So what? That doesn't mean you can't be a phenomenal, virtuous woman and a great mother and a great Christian wife. You can be. Okay? But if Eve came on the platform, you know what she'd say? Adam wasn't deceived. Come on, this is King James Holy Bible. Adam wasn't deceived. I was. Ladies, this is what she would tell you. There's one thing, one Achilles heel, one thing that you're going to be super careful about, one thing that's more of a besetting sin in women than it is men, and that is that we can be deceived. That's why when I say go to your husband, go to your husband, go to your husband, come on. Sister, Miss Rachel Biber's not married. She leans heavily on the counsel of her dad, number one, her pastor, number two. I mean, and this is not something I've asked. This is something she's wise enough to do. Listen, you're not just wise because you recognize your strengths. You're wise when you recognize your weaknesses. And when the Bible specifically says, hey, ladies, God made them. I will go so far as to say this. Women are the best thing God ever created. Okay, look at the creation process. Everything God created was more advanced. I mean, a cow's more advanced than grass. Okay, the cow eats the grass doesn't eat the cow. Are you listening to me? I'm saying some things that it wouldn't hurt us guys to hear. What's the last thing God ever created? I think it was the best thing God ever created. But it doesn't mean that you don't have some things that you have to be careful of. Most women, if I said this statement, would go, yep, that's right. There are certain sins, certain things that men have to be more careful of than women. And every woman's like, yep. Then I say, there is a sin that a woman has to be more careful of men, and everybody stoves up on me. Don't stove up on me. Okay? Have a humility about yourself. Listen to the Bible. Because the very fact that you can't accept it shows me that you are being deceived in that area of your life. All right? Because you refuse to accept Bible principle. You'd rather rise up and say, I am woman, hear me roar. Anybody know that song? Did you know that was a song? Come on, how many knew that was a song? I am a woman here. Yeah, just all the 70s and 80s guys. All right. Yeah. Come on, I'm a woman, hear me roar. Numbers too big to ignore. Anyway, we only. Helen Reddy, I think. Was it Helen Reddy? Bob, you used to listen to that. He had an 8-track in that Omega. So, I don't know. Him or Bill English, one of them, I can't remember, but. I'm trying to have some fun because this is tough. This is a tough talk. All right, all the other ones are easy. Next week, come back. Oh, my goodness sakes. It's just going to go, whoa. Come on. I already told you you're the best thing God ever created. What else you want from me? All right. But, come on. There's certain sins that preachers are susceptible to that people aren't, who aren't preachers are. Come on, you better study the Word of God. You know why most people end up messing up? Because they won't accept what the Bible says about them as a person or the position they have. They won't go to the Bible and say, listen to the warning, listen to the warning. Thank God that you're allowed to be a pastor, but you better understand this. And I've watched pastor after pastor fail and fall because they would not listen to a plain teaching in the Bible about, hey, with that position comes dangers. So if I can accept it, the men can accept it. You can accept it about me and the men. You know what? Don't be so proud that you can't also understand that there's a reason that God put your husband as the ultimate authority of your home. Come on. That God put the pastor as the ultimate authority in the church. You can just go like that. Good for us to be reminded. Doesn't mean I don't listen to counsel. Doesn't mean I don't consider everybody else's view. But y'all aren't going to stand before God and answer for this thing. I am. And so, you know, I got to quit. But we've so celebrated rebellion since about the 1950s. Come on, James Dean, cigarette up in his T-shirt. Okay, rebel without a cause. It's not new. Started really strong in the 50s. 60s broke out like ridiculous. And it's almost like in the society, we celebrate people that rebel against God-given authority when we ought to go to the Bible and say, rebellion is as the sin as of witchcraft. And the devil gets in the door when we stop respecting God's chain of command. All right. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for, Lord, these teachings. I pray, dear God, that you'll use them to strengthen the marriages in our church. In Jesus' name, amen.